Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. Good afternoon. I'm your Alaska Live host. I'm Lori Neufeld, and joining me here at the KUAC studios, Ian Scarf, classical pianist and chamber musician from the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival. Thanks so much for coming in.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we've brought down a piano from the music department, and so we can look forward to hearing you play a piece or two, and you're going to have some chamber musicians joining us once we get started here, too.
Yeah, that's the plan. My role this past week and this coming week at the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival is as a classical pianist. That involves wearing kind of a lot of hats. I've been doing workshops with some of the students who register with the music classes. So I've been doing piano workshops and chamber music workshops with string players. I've also been coordinating some of our chamber music concerts, which are featured this week.
There's one tonight even.
Concerts. There's even one tonight. And there's even going to be a sneak preview in about 30 minutes when my colleagues come and join us. And then
what time does that get started tonight?
Sure, yes. Let's go ahead and get that plug in right away. The concert is tonight. It's at Raven Landing in Fairbanks, and it's at 8 o'clock p.m. And I'll be joined by, I think, six of my colleagues who play string instruments and clarinets. We're doing a program of music by Mozart and Brahms.
At 8 o'clock tonight at Raven Landing. That's a nice space over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's been most of what I've been doing. I also have a very interesting little class that I teach that is open to non-musicians. It's a music appreciation kind of class.
The Backstage Pass one.
Yeah, it's called Backstage Pass. And the idea was kind of, part of it is like a music appreciation class where you talk through some of the great masterpieces of classical music and, use it as a kind of a listening guide for people, who maybe love classical music but they don't have quite the inside track that those of us who spend our lives studying, that we have. But the other part of the Backstage Pass is that we do live demonstrations in the class, and people who are taking the workshop, the class, they get a chance to really see how the musicians work and how we put all of this very complicated stuff together and the sort of things that we argue about in rehearsal and the sort of things that we criticize in our own playing and the things that we love about all this music. So it's a lot of fun.
To look behind the curtain, I guess, the Backstage Pass.
Exactly.
And talk about chamber music, and that's part of like the Backstage Pass thing too. Maybe not everybody knows exactly what chamber music means. My understanding, it's small group, classical music played in a smaller setting with a smaller group of musicians.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think most people, when they think about classical music and the performances they've heard and seen, the first thing that comes to mind is maybe a big symphonic orchestra where you have 50 or 100 people on stage. Yeah, and you have this wall of sound and all of these wonderful things happening in the orchestra, and you have a conductor in front, guiding, sort of acting as the tour guide. And then maybe the other thing that you think of about classical music is, the soloist, that sort of virtuoso presence who can take over a whole concert hall with just their violin or just their piano. But in between these two worlds is what we call chamber music, and that's where a composer, like a Mozart or a Brahms or Rachmaninoff, will write a piece for a trio or a quartet, and each musician in the group has its own part to play, but each musician also has to blend very closely with the group. So it becomes a very challenging and very rewarding experience, I think, not just for the performers, but also for the listeners, because oftentimes, the composers would write this music in a way that sort of encouraged a kind of a musical conversation taking place. So,
because there's no conductor between you and the audience.
Exactly. There's no conductor. So it's the challenges of the group to put all of these complicated parts together just really by paying attention to each other and by listening. And that's something that you pick up as an audience member, the struggle of communication when you don't use your words, when you just use your instrument. And that's the sort of thing that makes, you know, string quartets and piano trios and all of this stuff so fascinating to watch and to listen to and to play, because it really feels like you're acting out a dramatic narrative, you know, and that there's conversations and arguments and collaborations all taking place within one little, you know, piece of music.
Such drama. So I was a little worried when I was setting up in here with the piano is facing the back wall and the two chairs for the cellist and the clarinetist that will be along here soon. They're facing each other, but your back is to them. And it's just the reality of a small studio like KUAC has for performance. And we didn't really build it for performance back when, but we've made it work. And so how do you deal with that when your back is kind of, you use your peripheral vision, or?
There's a little bit of that involved. I mean, we've developed our own techniques because sometimes we have to rehearse in cramped quarters ourselves. But, you know, at the high level, it's really about fine tuning your listening skills. And, you know, when you can hear the cellist who's sitting directly behind you, you know, you can hear how their bow goes against the string, and you both have a plan for how you're going to navigate a piece of music. And so you can sort of let, once you're really listening, you can let your instincts take over, and you can sort of trust each other. And that's a very special part of making music. And I don't think that's unique necessarily to classical music either.
Yeah.
You know, that could be the same in a really tight rock band when they're on stage and they're just in the flow together.
Right, because the singer's out front oftentimes, and they can't actually see the drummer or sometimes the bassist or whatever, you know, and so they have to hear it, and that's why they have monitors.
Exactly, yeah. But, I mean, also, you know, that at, when there's really great music, whether it's, you know, rock or like this this French hip-hop that we were just listening
yeah,
to.
Yeah, in the world.
Or anything, it, you know, when you really are getting what you want from a musical experience, the best way to describe it is you're in a state of flow where you're in the present and you don't criticize the past and you don't worry about the future, but you feel like you're right there. And I think that that's, you know, not something just that we strive for as performers, but we want to give that experience to our audience. And we've all of us human beings who've experienced music, you know, we've had those moments where you're completely absorbed by the music you're listening to, whether it's on your headphones, on a run in the park, or whether it's in a concert hall. I mean, that's the power of music, and that's our job as performers, is to try to conjure that mind space every time we play.
It seems, Ian, that you're almost describing the power of radio, too, because radio is a listening experience, and it can be so powerful, and it can be more powerful than what you see on a screen sometimes, because you're in that moment and, you know, it, and your imagination is there with you and you're in that listening moment. And I love that.
Yeah, I have to say, I totally agree with you. I'm actually, this is a little bit of a divergence, but I'm actually a really big baseball fan.
Yeah.
And it's been nice. I live in San Francisco. It's been a nice few years for us.
Perfect.
Anyway, I've found that since I started listening to broadcasts on the radio, I'm so much more into the game. And I think it all has to do with imagination. You're absolutely right.
I love listening to sports on the radio. I grew up doing it. And so we were either at a game or we were listening to a game. And it is. It's different than listening is different than seeing it. And that's one thing that's really cool about radio and going and listening to a performance, too. So we've brought in some CDs with you, and one of them is with Charles
Akert,
and he's a cellist, and you said he is from Fairbanks.
From Fairbanks, yeah.
He's our local guy.
I mentioned, you know, I live in California, and The whole idea of coming up to Fairbanks for a summer festival is actually not as far-fetched as it seems. In the world of classical music, most of us have jobs that are sort of big city jobs tied to an organization like a symphony or an opera or a university. And they all have a similar schedule, which is to say that they all have a sort of a summer hiatus. So all of these symphony musicians and opera and university teachers, all of a sudden in the summer were sort of turned loose. And so there's arisen, not just recently, but over the last hundreds of years, this tradition of doing classical music festivals in beautiful places around the world, not just an opportunity to play concerts, but an opportunity for us to meet new musicians who aren't part of our normal orchestra, perhaps, an opportunity to get out of the big city for a while and enjoy a scenic place.
And the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival allows a lot of different musicians and artists to come together and teach and learn from each other and teach anybody who wants to take a class. That is the coolest part about this one, too.
Yeah. This festival wears many hats in that regard. So in any case, the way that I sort of got into this community with the Summer Arts Festival here in Fairbanks is through my good friend Charlie Akert, who grew up here in Fairbanks, was a cellist. He played with the Fairbanks Symphony and the Youth Orchestra, and I think he knows many in the music community here. He's the one who passed along my name for a recommendation 2 years ago. So thanks to him, I have this wonderful time in Fairbanks each summer now. And I just thought, since Charlie couldn't be with us here today, that I would play a little tune that he and I recorded a couple years ago. This is a piece by the French composer Camille Saint-Saëns. It's from a larger work that he wrote called The Carnival of the Animals, which is a kind of a silly suite of a suite of different movements about different animals in the zoo and different sort of goofy little pieces. But out of all of these funny pieces, you know, there's the kangaroos and there's the tortoises and all this and the birds. Near the end, there's a beautiful moment where the cellist takes a little solo accompanied by the piano. And it's become, I think, the most famous moment of this Carnival of the Animals, and maybe one of Saint-Saëns' most famous pieces. It's called The Swan.
Thank you.
Well, that was anything but silly or clumsy. That was the swan, so graceful. Ian Scarf is here from the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival, an instructor in classical piano, and he joins me here for Alaska Live on KUAC. I'm your host. I'm Laura Neufeld. Just listened to a recording of Ian and Charles Eckhart, who you say lives down San Francisco where you are now, but he's a Fairbanksan.
Yeah, Charlie and I, we both met in graduate school. This is about 8 years ago. We both went to the San Francisco Conservatory of Music for graduate degrees. And he was one of the first people I met. And ever since sort of that first week of grad school, when we both had just moved to California, Charlie and I have been good friends. And we've played concerts really all over the world. You know, he's not only brought me back here to Fairbanks, his hometown, but, you know, we've traveled across the East Coast and we've been up into Canada playing concerts. Also, Charlie's family is all from Switzerland. So even though his parents live here in Fairbanks, the rest of his family is Swiss. And we've several times done little concert tours in Switzerland. And I tell you, those are the times when you really say, wow, I'm living the life.
Yeah,
here.
Pinch myself here. Is this a dream? Yeah. You are here doing classical piano workshops, too. And explain a little bit what goes on in those workshops and how you teach.
Well, the first program that we've been doing for years here at the music festival is called the Piano Masterclass. And the Masterclass is an interesting situation, you know, in musical classes. It's a kind of a combination between a public performance and a private lesson. So in the context of a piano masterclass, that would mean something like, you know, you have a class of students and maybe even an audience that's there to listen and to see what they can get from the conversation. And then over the course of an hour or 2 hours, you have three or four of these students give a performance for the whole class, after which point the teacher, or the master, I guess, takes, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever time is allowed, and sort of leads a public piano lesson on the piece that was just heard. So it's an interesting thing as a teacher to run a masterclass, because on the one hand, you're obligated to your piano student to sort of show them little tricks and details and fingerings and tiny little things that sort of pianists talk about when they get together. But on the other hand, you have an obligation to your audience as well to create an entertaining program. So as a teacher, it's a nice experience, because you always have to balance the little details and the little things that you talk about with sort of big picture ideas about the music and things that you know that your listeners can latch onto, you know, about the emotional content of the music, or about, you know, the role of a pianist in sort of casting a spell and creating a you know, the perfect atmosphere for a kind of concert experience. So that's one of the things I do, is this little masterclass. And we've met on Mondays last week and this week, and our last class is actually today. It's at 3:30. And since the festival has open enrollment this week, I guess any of our listeners would be welcome to come to the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Be part of the audience.
Yes, you'd be welcome, or you can enroll and be a part of the workshop.
Yeah.
I think you just have to talk to the Summer Arts Festival staff at the box office in the music hall.
Yep, we're there at the Great Hall.
But yeah, let's go ahead and call that an open invitation.
Great. And that goes on today at 3:30.
Yeah, that goes on today. The other workshop that I'm running this year is a new one that we're trying. It's called a backstage pass, and it's more along the lines of a guided tour in some of the music that we're doing this week. And it's sort of built like a music appreciation class, where it's open to you know, music lovers of all skill levels. It's not a performance-based class, so anyone is welcome. And what I try to do in that piece, or in that class rather, is act as like a tour guide for some of this music, because classical music has sort of an unfortunate reputation of being
intimidating,
yeah, or inaccessible, or the sort of thing that you need to know a lot of stuff to understand. Right. And I don't really think that's true at all. I think that it's just music, and music speaks to people, and so therefore classical music is for people. But on the other hand, it is often very complicated, and it has a lot of very intricate details that are worth exploring. So the class is designed as a way to explore those details, you know, with everyone in the room.
Yeah.
And I could even do a little bit of that right now.
Let's do that.
Since we've got a piano in the studio.
We do.
The thing that I wanted to do, you know, we've got this beautiful little piano in the studio. I thought that I'd play one of my favorite little pieces by Frédéric Chopin. Chopin was a composer born in Poland. He lived throughout the 1800s, sort of during the romantic era of music, you know, when music was sort of expanding its forms and becoming more about emotional expression rather than sort of formal outlines. The piece I'm going to play is one of Chopin's preludes. It comes from a book of 24 preludes he wrote. These were written in a rather difficult time in Chopin's life. He was, for most of his adult life, he was very sick. He died when he was, I think, 36 or 38 years old.
Young.
From tuberculosis. And at the time, you know, doctors and people didn't really understand tuberculosis. And Chopin had this doctor, and he got some rather interesting advice from his doctor. He said, Monsieur Chopin, the real problem here is the air here in Paris, where you're living, is so foul. You know, there's so many people and so
and
much.
And that was probably true.
Yes, and it was cold and damp. And his doctor said, what you really must do is go south for a holiday, go to the Mediterranean. The warm sea breezes will soothe your lungs. And Chopin took his doctor's advice. He went to the island of Mallorca in the Mediterranean.
Oh, I hear that's beautiful.
And as the story goes, apparently it rained for the whole 3 weeks that he was there. So maybe not the restful, healthful vacation he needed. But while he was cooped up in his room, he ended up doing a lot of work writing music, from which this book of 24 preludes came. Now, I'm going to play just one of the set. It is it has picked up this nickname over the years, the Raindrop Prelude. And I think, on the one hand, you know, you can maybe think about that tragic story, which may or may not be 100% true, about the rainy vacation. But on the other hand, I think that there are things in the music that actually suggest that. Not so much the melody of the piece, which is what our ear is drawn to. But rather the accompaniment in the left hand below it, which is a very simple thing. And that one repeated A flat that just sort of hovers there throughout the whole piece, it gives the music a very calming and meditative kind of feeling, you know. The way that the repetition of raindrops on the roof is a very sort of soothing thing when you experience it. This little repeated note has the same kind of effect on the music. So even though it's not the main tune that we're really listening to, it's sort of a subconscious thing, the way that it affects how we experience the music.
The way he may have experienced it as he was composing.
Yes, exactly. But I don't think it was a subconscious thing on Chopin's part, because later in the piece, the music changes and there's this very dark thing that sort of emerges out of the bass. Which is very different from this beautiful lyrical tune that we began the work with. But the repeated A flat does not change. It stays right there. And somehow when it's combined with this sort of ominous rumbling in the bass, the repetition of that note is no longer a calming part of the music. Instead, it starts to make us feel more anxious, I think. And the way that it's so insistently repeating itself becomes to sound a little bit obsessive or distressing. And to me, that's just a perfect example of the genius of Chopin, because what he's doing is he is giving you two sort of polar opposite feelings, you know, between the beautiful tune and the ominous tune. And a lot of that is accomplished by just the presence of that one repeated note. So it's like the effect that the music has on you can change so drastically, even within one single note and its relationship in the piece.
Ian Scarf is here doing like a mini piano workshop for us here for Alaska Live.
Well, I'm going to play this prelude for you, but before I do, I might as well just spoil the ending. There's a moment, you know, after all of this storminess and all of this tension, when the clouds sort of part and the sunlight comes through again, and we return to the tune that brought us, that began the piece. And to me, it's sort of like the piece travels full circle, and it gives us this whole experience. So even though it's just, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of music, it's really a great example of, you know, the power of music and the genius of this guy, Frédéric Chopin. So I'm going to play it for you now, okay?
Great.
This is Chopin's Raindrop Prelude.
Thank you.
in scarf making our listening experience so much richer by giving the story behind the music and what was going on with the composer, you know, possibly what was going on with Chopin when he wrote that. The Raindrop Suite? The Raindrop
Prelude.
Prelude. Ah, it was gorgeous and really took us on a bit of a emotional roller coaster ride, too. Because it gets
dark
and stormy.
Well, thank you. I think that's what music is for, really. This kind of thing is what we do in the Backstage Pass workshop. So actually, we are doing another one of those this coming Wednesday.
Great.
It is
just a couple days.
Yeah, it's just a couple days away. And actually, the way the festival works is it's open enrollment. So I would invite any of our listeners today, if they want to come and experience this kind of workshop, it is this coming Wednesday at 3:00, and it's here in the music building in the university, in the University of Alaska at Fairbanks. And the way to do it, if you're interested in joining me for one of these classes, is you come sometime earlier in the day, or today or tomorrow, to the box office
at the Great Hall.
At the Great Hall, and you have a chance to talk to our wonderful staff here at the festival and just enroll and they'll tell you everything you need to know. And then I'll see you on Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, you might have a class earlier in the morning and you've already done the parking thing. So just, you could stay on campus that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I see that your chamber musicians have joined us. They're out in the wings waiting. So should we play something to give them a chance to join us?
Sure, I gave you a disc that has some of our Brazilian music on it.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a different from, you know, tonight's concert will be more about Mozart and Brahms and about the classics.
And that's at Raven Landing at 8:00 tonight.
That's at Raven Landing at 8:00 tonight, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday we're doing a concert here at the university in Davis Hall. It's at 8:30, so it's a bit of a late start, but it's also a bit of a shorter program, and the theme
is... It's summertime. That's not late.
Oh, yeah, I know. No one gets tired here in Alaska. The theme of the Wednesday night concert is Around the World in 80 Minutes. So we're going to do sort of classical-style chamber music, but from composers all over the world. There's a little Mozart, a little Mendelssohn, but there's also the Norwegian composer Bjarne Brustad. There's also the Brazilian composer João Guilherme Ripper, and there's also the great Bohemian master Antonín Dvořák. So I thought, as a kind of a preview for Wednesday night's concert, that I'd give you the second movement of this little trio by Ripper. He's a Brazilian composer, and in this work, he writes a trio for oboe and cello and piano, which is a bit of sort of not your normal classical trio. You know, the sound of the oboe is a very woodwind kind of sound. And then, of course, that blends with the cello and the piano. But this piece, this is the second movement of his trio. It's called Kinderzähnen, which is a direct reference to the great classical composer Schumann. But this particular scene of childhood is called a ciranda, which is a kind of a Brazilian dance that you hear the piano dance with the cello and the oboe. It starts out very lively with this little chipper thing in the piano, and then the cello sings this sort of mournful tune, and then as the oboe comes in, they bring it back to its sort of livelier finish.
Very fun.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this. Thank you.
piece from Ian Scarfe. He brought the songs of innocence and experience in the a Brazilian dance.
Yeah, that's sort of a little sneak preview for Wednesday night's concert.
Great.
But now that my colleagues have joined us, I thought we would give you a little preview of what we're going to do tonight at our concert.
And let's introduce Ted and Yari here, your chamber musicians.
Sure.
Ted, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be here.
And you play clarinet?
I do.
Yeah.
And you've been, you were here in Fairbanks for the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival, or you live here?
Well, I come up every year because I have family here. You know, I have a son and his family and wife and all our grandkids. And I have a daughter who's here, Amy. And so I come up every summer anyway. I mean, I was here since the beginning, you know, and when they chiseled out the thing on stone, you know, that's how long I've been here. When Joe first started this, before it became a summer festival, it was a 1 week or so jazz festival in the spring. And it had some wonderful musicians from Boston and New York who came up and then decided it might be a good idea to bring them back every year, but maybe in the summer when there was no school on. So that's what she did. It started the following summer then. And it's been going strong ever since.
Well, welcome back to the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival.
I've been there for a long time. Yeah, Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival. There we go.
All right. And you'll be part of the group that's performing on Wednesday night here at the Davis Concert Hall.
Yes, there'll be three chamber ensembles. The one that I'm in, along with Yari, Piper, and Ian. Then a Mozart trio with Kathleen DiCorso.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see, the violist is...
we're doing Brahms violin sonata.
Yeah. Oh, and the sonata, too, yes. In G major, is it?
Yeah.
G major violin sonata. So three pretty amazing
around the world in 80
tonight.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Ted.
Also, I'd like you to meet my colleague, Yari.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Yari. Is this your first time at the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival?
As an adult, it is, actually. When I was 13 or something, or 14, I participated. There was a children's camp as kind of run as part of the festival that actually Ted conducted at. And so I had some very formative musical experiences here when I was just a youth, and now I've come back as a guest artist here.
Well, welcome back. You're the cellist here with the chamber musicians, and you'll be on stage on Wednesday, too. Great.
Yeah.
And tonight.
And tonight.
And tonight.
Ah, great. Well, Ian, you've picked out a piece to share, and I heard it's a nice and challenging.
Well, yeah. I mean, what we're going to do for you right now is a selection from a trio for clarinet, cello, and piano by Johannes Brahms. This is a piece that Brahms wrote very late in his life. When he was in his late 50s or 60s, Brahms decided that he was going to retire from composing music, which is kind of an astonishing thought because, you know, so many of the composers that we are familiar with, they sort of died too early, you know, before their prime, like Schubert and Mozart and Chopin.
They didn't get to retirement age.
Yeah. And Brahms was not only fortunate to be, you know, a healthy, long-lived fellow, but, you know, during his life, his music was really accepted as great contemporary classical music. So at some point, Brahms decided that, you know, he had had a good career and it's time to just enjoy his later years. But this didn't last very long. One of the things that happened is Brahms heard a concert in Germany of a really wonderful orchestra. And in particular, what he was drawn to was the sound of the clarinetist in the orchestra. And this guy must have been an amazing clarinetist because Brahms was just floored. And he sought this guy out and he, you know, they became friends and Brahms would just listen to him for hours on end. So it must have been really a sort of a special experience listening to this guy play. His name was Richard Mühlfeld. And so what inevitably came out of their meeting was Brahms was so inspired that he came out of his retirement, started writing music again, most of it featuring the clarinet very prominently. So there's a wonderful quintet with the clarinet and strings, and there's two sonatas for clarinet and piano together. And then there is this trio, which pairs the clarinet with the cello, which is an interesting sort of pairing because the cello has that very mellow string sound, and the clarinet has that very mellow wind sound. And then, of course, the piano is there sort of to tie things together. So what we're going to do is we're going to play the second movement of this Brahms trio. This is the Adagio. And it's just a real wonderful, it's just such a thing of beauty. It's this sort of unending lyrical line that keeps flowing throughout the whole movement. But I should offer a little disclaimer. You know, this is part of a four-movement piece. And the rest of the piece is very dramatic and very intense. So what we're offering you now on the radio is sort of the midpoint of this intensity, the relief point. If the audience joins us tonight, they'll get to hear the whole story as it unfolds.
And that's at 8 o'clock at Raven Landing.
Exactly. Yeah. But for now, we're just going to play the second movement, the Adagio, from this wonderful trio.
Here at KUAC's Alaska Live.
Thank you.
Rex Summer Arts Festival. Chamber musicians join us here for KUAC's Alaska Live. Ted, you play clarinet, and they do not let you off the hook. Right, you start the conversation with that long, sustained note. And we were talking about chamber music as a conversation, and you definitely, you know, just hit that conversation with that note. That's tough.
Well, yeah, it's a challenge.
You did it so well.
But a gorgeous, gorgeous piece, you know, and the whole, when you set this in between these dramatic, dynamic first and last movements, and a beautiful third movement that sets it all off. It's just a magnificent piece of music. We're very lucky, you know, that Brahms, we clarinetists, I mean, Brahms met this fellow because we were granted three late pieces by Brahms for clarinet. I mean, go figure, huh? And
yeah.
The same thing happened with Mozart with the clarinetist Stadler. He wrote his last pieces for clarinet also. Mm-hmm. So we got late pieces by both composers.
Ah, so good.
Yeah.
Ian, when you're saying about the conversation, it was so interesting there in the middle where, you know, there was sometimes you were playing the piano with Yari on cello, and other times you were playing with the clarinet, and other times you had your own part.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Thank you,
Yari. Yari has to go, bye.
I know you have to go, but that was beautiful.
Thank you. It was a blast, yeah. I wish we could play more now.
yeah, well,
just getting warmed up.
The Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival keeps us very busy.
Yes.
And he's off to the next workshop or next performance.
Great.
Or whatever it is.
Yes.
But yeah, I think, you know, those things that you mentioned, the way that, you know, when you're playing in a trio and it's one of these great pieces that you always have to stay on your toes because the way the spotlight shifts from one musician to the other so quickly, it's really kind of an amazing thing. You have to be ready to be right there. And then you also have to be ready to back off and let your colleagues take the spotlight for a moment. And I think that that's, you know, not just one of the reasons why audiences really get a lot out of chamber music concerts, you know, not just that they get to sort of hear this great music and watch the musicians communicate with each other, but it's also a reason why musicians are drawn to this music as well, because it really feels like we're connecting with our friends. And I think, you know, these composers, when they were writing chamber music, it often was not even really meant for public performances. You know, like if Mozart or Beethoven had a big concert coming up and they expected a big music to be played on stage, he would write a symphony. Or if he wanted to play the piano, he would write a concerto, which is where the pianist plays with a whole symphony orchestra behind him. So there was a difference between public music and private music. And chamber music was written as sort of private music so that, you know, Beethoven or Mozart could sit down with their friends and have something to play. And so there's that spirit of camaraderie in the music, which I think is why we're so drawn to it.
Yeah, and that is why it sounds more like a conversation, too. And that was so interesting, the way you described that earlier during Alaska Live about the conversation. And I just got that so well with what happened in this last movement that you played. It was, and how that can bring a small audience in and make you feel so close to it. I love that.
Well, I'm glad it came across because, you know, just a little disclaimer, I just met Ted less than a week ago. You know,
he's
so
your
we've
new friend.
Had, yeah, we've, Ted and Yari and I, we've had, I think, three or four sessions to sit down together. And, you know, we all have some familiarity with this music because it's one of the great masterpieces, but we have no familiarity playing with each other. So that's the point where you sit down and you have to be a little loose and you have to be open and willing to really listen to your colleagues.
And I know we had a discussion on Friday, Ian, you and I did, about how this Alaska Live session was going to go. And you and I encouraged you to bring your musicians in for a bit of a, you know, practice for your concert, because that makes it interesting for listeners to get, you know, a backstage pass to what is going on, how you get ready to perform, like you're going to perform tonight. And it's really neat to see, you know, kind of drawing the curtain back and seeing that. So, Ted, is it you've not run into Ian at any other festivals that you've attended?
Well, no, but I did hear him play last summer, and it was fantastic. Yes. The Beethoven Choral Fantasy with a monster keyboard part, and it just blew me away. But I didn't really get to meet him. I don't think we met last year. I mean, I saw you from the stage because I was in the orchestra. So when he wrote this year saying that he was going to be putting some of the musicians together in chamber music groups, well, you know, I was all for it. I thought, how wonderful. And Ian is right, you know, in the first rehearsals, you know, everybody's dealing with their own issues and, oh, this is, the parts are challenging and so forth. But over time, you start to get past that, you know, and that's when it gets to be really fun, when you can start being more aware of where your piece fits with everything else that's going on. And once that starts, then it just cascades, and the more you can play together, the more aware of these things you become. And it's a terrific experience.
Well, and like Yari said before he left, now I want to play more.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I just right. got started with you guys.
Yep.
Yeah. And, well, Ian, we're just about to wrap up here. It's been so nice to have you here for Alaska Live on KUAC. And what else do we have to do? We can play this piece that is off of a CD that you left here to go out, or you can tell us one more time when we can see you on stage.
Well, sure. I mean, tonight is the first opportunity people get. It's the chamber music masterpieces of Mozart and Brahms. And that is one of the festival classical concerts. It's held at 8 p.m. tonight at Raven Landing.
And that's on Airport Way.
It's on Airport Way, so it's not here at the campus, but it's a beautiful little space. Yeah. And we're going to set it up in a very intimate way where the musicians are kind of in the middle of everything.
Oh,
so everyone will have sort of a front row seat. It'll be a sort of a special experience. And then tomorrow, I'm not part of the concert, but I think you'll hear from our resident contemporary music group, Concert Black. They're doing a program of new pieces written by composers as part of this music festival.
And they're on Alaska Live tomorrow at 1.
Oh, so you guys will hear a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be next featured at the Wednesday night chamber music concert. It starts at 8:30 p.m. here at the Davis Concert Hall. And the theme of that one is Around the World in 80 Minutes. And it'll feature a sort of a collection of music from all different composers from all over the world. I'm glad you wanted to play another one of my pieces. The CD that you have is one of my solo recording or one of my solo CDs, and I think the track you have lined up is from Beethoven's Piano Sonata in A flat major, one of his last great works. It's a beautiful piece, and it starts in a kind of a meditative way with this little tune. It goes bom 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 ba ba di. And then over the course of the first movement, you know, 5 minutes or so, that becomes like the motto that's developed over and over again. So I hope you enjoy it.
And just a little last plug in case you didn't catch all of those times and places, you can find out more about the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival at fsaf.org. Thank you. even Ian Scarfe's recordings. Such a great pleasure to have you here on Alaska Live today. Thanks for bringing your, you know, extra little tidbits of knowledge and info on the music that you love and that you're showing, getting a better appreciation for music here as part of Alaska Live, Ian.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I had a good time. And, you know, talking about music is something that I think is something that we as classical musicians really need to embrace because, you know, it can really enrich the whole experience for everybody.
Yeah.
And just, you know, if any of our listeners are interested, they're welcome to drop into the Backstage Pass class.
The workshop,
part of the one of the workshops that the festival is hosting here at the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival. It's this coming Wednesday, 3 o'clock p.m. here in the university, one of the music rooms. The way to register is just to stop by the box office.
That's in the Great Hall.
In the Great Hall and just talk to the amazing staff we have with the festival here.
So if you had a good time and you learned something from today's Alaska Live, well, that'll be a continuation of this experience. So, thank you so much, Ian Scarfe. It's been a pleasure. And thanks for inviting Ted and Yari here to play and talk a little bit about chamber music. It's been a great time.
Great. I'll see you next year when I'm back in Fairbanks.
Sounds good. Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.